If you don't want to commit perjury in New York, it's almost hopeless to get divorce unless adultery can be proven. One way out is annulment. One of the most prominent divorce lawyers in the country, Charles Rothenberg, recognizes this problem.
New York State has only one ground for absolute divorce, which makes it the most backward in this respect in the country. There is no reason why the statute should not be enlarged so as to create additional grounds. I also favor a uniform divorce law which will eliminate the chaotic situation where people are lawfully married in one state but living in sin and their children illegitimate in another.
For more than 50 years, efforts have been made to standardize our divorce laws, but with no success. This despite the fact that Supreme Court Justice Jackson has observed, if there is one thing the people are entitled to expect, it's rules of law that will enable them to tell whether they are married and to whom. But this is how Father John Ryan of Reno and many others feels about it.
Since the very beginning of Christianity, Christ himself said, whom God had joined together, let no man put asunder. Therefore, Nevada's liberal divorce laws are contrary to Christian principles and teachings.
The jurists, like Florida's Judge Holt, see the American divorce problem a different way.
The trend throughout the country, and I think throughout the entire world, is to liberalize divorces. Our problem does not lie in that field. The problem lies before these individuals become eligible to go to the divorce court.
It's generally agreed that many marriages could be saved if time and energy were united in the right direction. There are many counseling services, but few take advantage of them. One of the best is the American Institute of Family Relations. A couple in Los Angeles, on the verge of divorce, come in to discuss their problem with Dr. Paul Papineau.
Both of you people seem so much dissatisfied with marriage, it's hard to know which is the real complainant, but what would be your story here?
Well, it seems to me that my wife is making some very unwise expenditures, not in accord with our means. Just last week she was downtown and bought a group of new dresses, and we just can't afford that.
Would that be your understanding of the situation?
Well, I can see no reason why I shouldn't go down and buy clothes. My mother does the same thing. She thinks that I should be nicely dressed.
Have you ever sat down and talked over with your husband just what the family finances are and what the obligations are?
No, he handles all of that himself. He never confides in me.
You don't actually know then how much you could pay out, how much you have to work with?
No, he just says no, no all the time. And every time I mention my mother wants this and that, why, he resents it and he takes on that holier-than-thou attitude and throws a temper tantrum, and I just don't seem to get any place.
A little time, patience, and compromise saved this marriage. Contrary to popular belief, divorce is not the privileged sanctuary of the wealthy. Many seeking divorce in Florida work as waitresses or bartenders to raise money. And the same is true in Reno.
I decided I wanted a divorce. I had very limited means. So, I had $200 when I came to Reno, which isn't very much money to spend for 6 weeks, room and board, and pay for a divorce. 3 nights after I arrived, I came to see Archie the bouncer at Harris Club, and I was put to work chilling. It's been very helpful, and by doing this work, I've been able to pay for my divorce and therefore get it quicker than if I were in California.
Remember our other girl from California who came to Reno? Her 6 weeks' residence are up. And in what we believe to be the first recording ever made of an actual divorce proceeding, she gets her freedom.
Are you alleging your complaint that you and the defendant, John Daly, were married on the 10th day of June, 1943, in New York City, New York?
That's right.
There's one child, the issue of the marriage, John Daly, Jr., age 5.
Yes.
All matters concerning the care, custody, control, and support of the minor child have been taken care of by written agreement between you and the defendant.
Yes, they have.
All matters concerning the community property of you and the defendant have heretofore been taken care of by an agreement dated the 5th day of February, 1951.
That's right.
Also, all matters concerning your alimony and claims against the defendant.
Yes.
I would like this agreement marked Plaintiff's Exhibit A for identification. Are you familiar with your husband's signature?
Oh, yes.
Is that his signature appearing thereon?
Yes.
Do you feel that this agreement is fair, just, and equitable to you, to the defendant, and to the minor child?
Yes.
You allege in your cause of action for divorce that the defendant has treated you with extreme cruelty, entirely mental in character, since your marriage. Is that allegation true?
Yes, it is.
Was the defendant very indifferent toward you?
Yes, he was.
Did he take any interest in the home or in the child?
No, none at all.
Less than 5% of all divorces are contested. The easiest way out, when neither party contests, is on grounds of cruelty, recognized as valid in 42 states. In Miami, a divorce. Grounds, cruelty.
Your complaint, as I read it here, charges him with extreme cruelty. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And under the heading of extreme cruelty, you have testified as to constant bickering, disagreements in the household, and his staying out at nights, and your constant worry about where he was and not knowing what he was doing. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Is there anything you can add to that?
No, sir. That about covers it.
In view of that, I am now signing the final decree of divorce.
Thank you.
There are some who contend that one cause of divorce is casual marriage, that if marriage were taken more seriously, the same might be true of divorce. Elkton, Maryland has only a 2-day waiting period. It used to be even shorter. The justice of the peace plays a phonograph record, the couples recite the vows, and it's all over.
You will join right hands, and you will speak the words, I, William Arnold, take thee, Helen Smith, to be my wedded wife,
to have and to hold,
from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, and in health.
We asked Reverend Percy Lambert how he feels about this quick marriage he's just performed.
The quick marriage laws permit the people to come without losing time, without spending extra money for train fares and hotel bills and a lot of things like that, permits them to come and get married and return immediately to their work.
If marriages were harder to get and divorces were harder to get, would this help? Dr. Goode doesn't think so.
Divorce policy, which does no more than make divorces harder to get, is only tackling the symptoms. We can cut the divorce rate down to zero by simply forbidding divorce, but this does nothing about the causes of the trouble.
But Judge Paul Alexander of Toledo is convinced that the basic problem is not so much the law itself, but the way it's interpreted and administered.
The law says that when a marriage gets sick, turns out to be a headache, the doctor, in this case the judge, must do just one thing. Decapitate, says the law. Here's a sick marriage, off with its head. If the law of the hospital was that doctors had to amputate upon request, we would all agree that such a law belonged in the realm of Alice in Wonderland. Well, the law of divorce is much like that. When a wife finds her husband is a pain in the neck and files a request with the court that he be removed, the court has got to remove him, utterly regardless of whether the marriage might be cured and the family salvaged. The judge has got to amputate. Now, something has got to be done about this, and something is being done about it.
The American Bar Association is pressing hard for uniform divorce laws, for family courts, for machinery to save the marriage before it ever gets to court. Cleveland is among the leaders in this respect, has a domestic relations department supervised by the court. Its director is E. Dana Brooks.
The basic purposes of the department may be simply stated to be, first, reconciliation. Second, investigation of the facts relating to the care of minor children. And third, enforcement of the orders of the court relating to support of children by peaceful means wherever possible. While the department will make no attempt to compel performance of something which the law does not require a person to do, suggestions can be made which, if followed, will improve the marital relationship and make the home secure for the children.
And what we have to remember is that a divorce is not a criminal proceeding, that it's not a question of guilt or punishment. We're dealing here with human lives, and often with the lives of the most innocent, the children. Marriages can be saved and are saved, but it takes patience and understanding by all parties, including the judge. This is Judge Joseph A. Moynihan of the Circuit Court of Michigan. He's in his private chambers with a couple on the day they're going to get their divorce.
I brought you in here to discuss a possible reconciliation till these children arrive at least an age where they can understand things. You two can tell me, as you already have. I'll take care of them. I'll find a way to take care of them. Ms. Smith, you say, well, you'll get work, you'll get help from your mother, you'll get some support from your husband. But these children that are denied the husband coming home from his work every night, they look up to their father. Everything he does is interesting to them. The way he walks, they'll imitate him, those boys. That girl of yours is going to imitate you. These boys, the way they act, the way they talk and everything, they're imitating the finest person in their minds in the world, and that's their father. You take that discipline away from them, they have nothing to tie to. They come home, and the first thing you know, the father isn't there. The mother isn't there. Why? Because you'll take a job. Now, Mrs. Smith, you have this mother and father of yours down in Ohio. First thing you know, you'll be sending Mary Jane down because Grandma wants her. Gradually, you'll have the whole three children down in Ohio. Mr. Smith is going to come into court and want to take custody over to himself because you have sent the children outside the jurisdiction of the court. And I may wind up and then ask the friend of the court to become the custodian, the guardian of these children, and then you and Mr. Smith can see them in some licensed boarding home. Now, do you really want that as a future for your children? Are you going to stand up there that day in the last judgment and you'll say, well, we got into a little difficulty. He called me names. I called him names. We may not have acted as well as we should, but do you think that's going to be a defense for your turning these children over to somebody else? The children that you promised to cherish and love when you brought into the world, when you were so happy when the child was placed in your arms for the first time, Mrs. Smith? In your own souls, both of you have got to answer this question. You've got to answer it now. You can't put it off into the future.
These two people saved their marriage, as others have been saved by work and compromise. Not all marriages, so seemingly hopeless, have to end up in Miami or Reno. And it's not true, as this girl says as she stands on the banks of the Truckee River.
Well, that's that.
Many legal and social experts have urged the necessity for uniform divorce laws. But individuals like nations often split up for secondary, unimportant reasons. Others maintain that the whole institution of divorce is evil. For those who accept divorce, there is clearly a need, as Justice Jackson has pointed out, for more clear-cut and more comprehensible legislation on the subject. It was our purpose in this program to indicate the magnitude of the wreckage it leaves in its wake, rather than to attempt to reconcile the conflicting opinions as to the basic causes for divorce or the type of legislation that may be required.
You have just heard program 21 in the CBS series, Hear It Now, a document for air based on the week's news. Hear It Now is edited and produced by Edward R. Murrow and Fred W. Friendly, and the CBS staff, which includes Irving Gitlin, John Aaron, Jesse Zausmer, Joseph Wershwer, and Edmund Scott. Portions of the program originated at WTOP Washington, WJR Detroit, WGAR Cleveland, WGBS Miami, Florida, KOLO Reno, WCAU Philadelphia, WLAC, Nashville, KOMA, Oklahoma City, KLRA, Little Rock, KNX, Los Angeles, KCBS, San Francisco, and the British Broadcasting Corporation. Special acknowledgement is made to Lieutenant Leonard Andrews of Carswell Air Force Base. Olin Tye speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.